Okay, good morning, gentlemen. We're continuing. We're Yeshua Perkhof Bays. Pasuk Lamed, just finishing up the story with the 2.5 tribes. So this is after their explanation for what and why they did what they did to build the Mizbeach. Okay, Perkhof Bays, Pasuk Lamed. Vayishma Pinchas Hakohen Nesiu Aed of Rashi Alpha Yisrael Asher Ita Sadvor Masher Dibur Bnei Reuven Bnei Gad Bnei Menashe, and Pinchas the Kohen and the different princes of the congregation, the heads of the Jewish people that were with him, when they heard the words that the tribes told them, Yita Benem was good in their eyes. They accepted their excuse. Vayomer Pinchas Ben Elazar Hakohen Bnei Reuven Bnei Gad Bnei Menashe, and Pinchas told the 2.5 tribes. Hayom Yadanu, today we know, Ki Besocheinu Hashem, you are amongst us. Asher Lo Ma'altam B'Hashem Malazah, you did not transgress this terrible transgression. Asit Saltam Es B'nei Yisrael Mi'ad Hashem, and you saved the Jewish people from the hands of Hashem. Obviously, saving them in terms of doing something that would have been so terrible, number one, if you would have done an Avera, right, then it would have been considered aver for us, and as well, if, without that explanation, it could have been a lot of bloodshed. Lamed Beis VaYashav Pinchas Ben Elazar Koyim Ben Asim Beis Bnei Reuven Beis Bnei Gad Meretz Hagilot El Eretz Canaan El Bnei Yisrael, and Pinchas and the Nesim, they all returned back to the Jewish people. VaYishivu Sam Dover, and they returned the message. Lamed Gimel VaYita VaDover Bnei Bnei Yisrael, and that was also good in their eyes. VaYivarcha Lekim Bnei Yisrael, and Hashem blessed the Jewish people. Lo'amru la'alo saleim l'tzov l'sheches aris, and they said not to go up to war to destroy the land. Asher b'nei Reuven they God Yoshim bo that they were living in. Amidalad vayikru b'nei Reuven they God l'mizbeach ki eid hu b'noseinu ki Hashem alukim. And the two tribes they called the mizbeach that Hashem is a witness that it is a witness between us that Hashem is God. In other words, that they officially called it a testimony that we are with you, Hashem, and that we believe in Hashem, and just like everybody else believes in Hashem, we believe in Hashem the same way. It's interesting. The Mefarshim, the Medrash tells us that when the Bnei Gad and the Bnei Reuven returned back home, so the Medrash tells us that when they left 14 years earlier, where is that Medrash? Very interesting Medrash. Here it is. When they left them, their children grew their hair. They grew their hair. They didn't cut it for 14 years. Their kids grew their hair for 14 years. They didn't cut it. And the truth is, the non-Jews in the area also, for other reasons, had a custom to grow their hair. And it seems that when they came back home, there were some battles that were raging, that their children were waging with the enemies. Remember, it's been 14 years, and they could have left kids that were 6, 7, 8 years old, and then it's going to see them until their mid-20s, right? And it was hard to know who was who when the fathers came back, and they're trying to see who to help them battle. So they heard some people saying, Anenu Hashem, Anenu. Hashem answer us, okay Avram, okay Yitzchak, okay Yisrael, Anenu, the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yisrael, answer us. Then they knew who their kids were. So again, you see that leaving them away for such a long period of time was not necessarily such a good thing either. Remember, they left their kids for 14 years. Kid without a father for 14 years grows up with great handicaps. And this was all what? Because these people were doing what they figured was the will of Hashem. So obviously you got to realize, based on what we said yesterday, that you got to know what's the will of Hashem and what's your will and fitting Hashem into your will. But clearly, their children were at great spiritual risk. great physical risk, and they were fortunate to some extent to get them back, but not without the without the dangers that the children were exposed to. And that's what the Medrash is kind of hinting to, that they were exposed to great dangers. And this all came because why? Ultimately, you see, when you make one wrong decision, so many other decisions have to follow. You decide you want the land on the East Bank, then of course you've got to make up for it, so you compensate for it by leading the troops into battle. And then you stay more than 7 years, you stay 14 years. You know, one thing leads to another, and ultimately your children are the ones who were ignored. And ultimately that's what usually happens in those situations. The children get ignored, and those are the ones that you lose. Anyway, so that concludes this topic of the B'nai God and the B'nai Reuven. So now we move on to the next chapters. And Perek of Gimel and Chav Dalet, to a great extent, the whole Perek of Gimel and most of Perek of Dalet, most of Perek of Dalet are really one similar topic. And we're going to be on it for a while because you've got to appreciate each part before you can understand everything altogether. And you should have photocopied the booklet that should begin on page Resh. Well, your old booklet took you through Resh Gimel, if I'm not mistaken. Your old booklet took you through Resh Gimel, and the new one starts on Resh Dalet, if I'm not mistaken. Right? Is that correct? Right, so, okay, when we get to the booklet, we're going to start at the bottom of Resh Gimel, and then we'll go to the next booklet on Resh Dalet. But first, let's do the first Pasuk. Okay, we're in Perek of Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. Vayehi miyamim rabim, and it was after many days, acharei asher heiniach Hashem li Yisrael mikol ayveihem misaviv, where Hashem gave the Jewish people rest from all their enemies around them. Yeshua zokein bo bayomim, and Yeshua came to his days. In other words, he was getting old already. Another 14 years have passed of relative tranquility, and it's coming up to the end of Yeshua's times. So let's already take a look into the booklet and see what it has to say. Again, we're on the last page of the old booklet on Resh Gimel. It's only about three lines. If you don't have it, don't worry. I'm going to go right into the new booklet in a moment. So on that first pasuk, right at the bottom, the last few lines. Arba Asrei Shana Shel Menucha V'Shal V'Chovu Mimei Gemara Kibushim V'Chalukas HaNachlos. 14 years of peace and tranquility passed by after the conclusion of the initial conquest in the division of land. Beis Yisrael Noach Su Ish B'Nachlos. So the Jewish people, everybody took their inheritance. V'Yisragel L'Chayi Torah Mitzvos. And they became used to a life of Torah and mitzvahs. He came into that habit. L'chayev shel am Hashem ha'yeshel v'betech al admasa. It was a life of the nation of Hashem living in tranquility on their land. Ein oivi misaviv. There's no enemies directly around them. Now we're on the next booklet, Resh Dalet. V'lachein ein od tzorech b'isasefon. There was no need to gather the people. There's no need to have any special gatherings. Amishkan b'shilo hu asher oimed b'merka shalom. The Mishkan is in Shiloh, which is in the central region for the people. Ubo makrivim karbonos atzibur vayichidim. And there they bring in the group and individual karbonos. Va'alav olim l'regel b'moadei Yisrael shosh b'vashara. And to that mizbeach, they would go up every holiday Yom Tov three times a year. So things had already fallen into place. People are doing mitzvahs, giving truma and meiser, and all the things the Torah tells you to do when you live in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Dor boya aretz alochmim asher adayin ros nisa Hashem b'midbar v'chibush aretz maschil nizdakein. The nation that came into the land, the fighters, which they were the ones who saw the miracles of Hashem in the desert, and they saw the miracles of Hashem when we conquered the land. So they're beginning to get older. But our Chodesh, and a new generation is coming, Asher Kfar Gidol Ba'aretz Achuz Oso, which grew up into this new land. Roa B'Yeshiva Oso Ba'aretz Asativi V'Samakubal. So they see they see the they're living in the land in a natural way, an accepted way. And as the Torah says, Venoshanta Baretz, and they were settled in the land. They grew old in the land, as it were. They were getting used to living normal living. Their children born, you know, the last generation were people born in the desert or born seeing the miracles of Egypt. They all were used to seeing amazing miracles, the amazing miracles of Jericho and the Jordan River, etc., etc. But now, 28 years have passed, and many, many children were born. A whole young generation was around, and they didn't see no miracles. I mean, certain miracles I'm sure they still saw. The triple crop in Shemitah, they seen once or twice. But those amazing, amazing miracles they didn't see. They're used to living in the land. Still, there were leaders, the old leaders from the days of the desert and from the conquest of the land. And at the lead was Yeshua, Zokein Baba Yamim, an elderly guy, who lives in his city in Timna Serach, which is in Ephraim. And from there, he's taking a good look over the conduct of the people generation. But the Medrash Tanchuma tells us that Zikna Kavtzalov, but old age overtook him, jumped over him. In other words, he prematurely aged. Why? Because of the wars he did. Very interesting. I mean, again, he didn't do that many wars. At the end of the day, it wasn't like, you know, we saw it was a couple big wars, and that was really it. You know, but anyway, whatever it is, it aged him. And he hasn't had wars for a long time. For a good 21 years, they weren't fighting very many wars. So it's hard to understand that medrash unless there's, you know, other milchamas that he fought, the milchamas of Torah and other milchamas. But anyway, now he has to prepare the upcoming generation. He has to worry about their needs after he dies. Because a true great leader, he doesn't only look at the present state of the generation. He has to know the eternal life of his nation. Based on the foundations that he's laying in this generation. Which direction they're going, and for what he is fundamentally making for many generations to come. A good leader doesn't worry about his public opinion now. A good leader doesn't worry how he's going to go down in history for what he did now. A good leader is someone who makes plans for the future and lets somebody else get the credit for what happens in the next generations. That's what a good leader does. A good leader worries about, figure, what are we going to do about the congestion on our roads? And we may not be able, you know, it may take 20 years till we start a plan that will be only implemented and realize the benefits 20 years from now. And I'll long be out of office. Right? But a good leader says that's not the issue. The issue is, you know, what will we have and how will we continue to thrive and survive? So, what was Yeshua's concern now for the future? That we will see, he's going to gather up all the Jewish people in this chapter. So he's saying, Od bitkufas siyum akibushim omer laHashem. Already at the end of the conquest era, Hashem said to him, Atazakanta bas vayomim, you've grown old, you've come on in days. Varetz nishara harbeimo l'risho, there's a lot of land that has to be conquered. Anshe orishom ifnei v'nei Yisrael, and you've got to, you know, drive out the enemies from before the Jewish people. Hashem said long ago, way back in Perek Yigimel, Hashem said, you know, you're getting on, and we gotta get the goyim out of here. Right? There's a lot there. There's a lot of areas that need to be taken care of. And obviously what happened? And he explains. Haknanim adayim yashu besochei nachos ha-shvatim. The Knanim were still living amongst the tribal portions of the Jewish people. Now it's interesting, even Hashem knew this. Ki kacha yaratzim ufanav, because ultimately this was the ratzim of Hashem in one way or another. Because Hashem says in Sefer Shmos, ma'at ma'at agar shenem v'necha, slowly, slowly I will drive out the enemies before you. because they knew if they conquered the entire land quickly, then they would be overrun by wild beasts and animals. So it was all part of God's plan that they shouldn't be driven out so quickly, but it wasn't really in Yeshua's right to delay it either. But anyway, fit it to God's overall plan. And ultimately, Mech would be conquered only after Yeshua's death. However, on the other hand, the Torah warns us of the great dangers that happen if you leave over that leftover land and don't conquer it. As it says as well, they shouldn't live in your land, the Goyim. They're going to make you sin against me. It also says in Sefer Bamidbar, you don't drive out the enemies from before you. The ones you leave over will be lesikim beinechem, will be like pins in your eyes, and thorns in your sides. They're going to give you all kinds of problems, pains for the land that you're living in. So therefore, Yeshua is concerned about this. Now, piece over here. I put it aside and now it's not here. Second. Put it aside. Let's see if it's over here. No. Okay. Not meant to be said over. Oh, there it is. So the Lev Aaron commentary on this first pasuk says he thought like this. He thought that once he began the conquest of the land, and ready, remember when they set up the Mishkan Shiloh, he said the same thing. Okay, guys, we got the Mishkan, start conquering the land. He figured that the Jews would conclude the conquest of the land during his lifetime until they were totally rid of these Canaanites. Now again, you know, we already learned that he kind of himself was a little slow in doing that. So it's like, you know, you get what comes around goes around. He was kind of slow in it. How would he expect them to be any quicker? You know, but that's another issue. But he thought certainly, once he gave them the guidance to go ahead and conquer, they would do this. But when he saw that many days passed, which Hashem has left them into quiet, and the Jewish people did not conquer, and Hashem really didn't rebuke anybody on it either. Right? You know, at the end of the day, everybody wants peace now. And once you give somebody, once things are a bit tranquil, even though there's goyim around, but you know, they're not making us trouble now, so just let's leave them. Right? So he saw, you know, they're not conquering it now. They're going to conquer it after he dies if everything stays the way it is. And there was afraid the Jewish people would get lazy in this area for whatever reasons. And therefore, what's going to come up now is he's going to have to command them about the conquest of the land. And so therefore, the Lev Aaron says, commentary says, that's the wording over here when it says that Yeshua, where it says, Vayhi miyomim rabim. Now, miyamim rabim is a very difficult word, the word miyamim. What's that mem doing there? You know, mem, you know, it could be bayamim rabim, after many days. The mem doesn't really fit in. So he says that the mem is like the reason. It was, vayin it was, misiba, shel, because of the reason of many days that passed, that Hashem made it quiet for them. And in all these days, the Jews did not continue to conquer the land and drive out the Goyim. And they weren't even commanded on it. Hashem didn't give any special tochacha. So, and that was why. Because things were relatively quiet. And he saw he's getting older, and he doesn't have the koyach anymore. So, and he sees that it ain't going to be conquered in his lifetime. So therefore, he takes the initiative at this point. So me can sometimes mean from meaning the reason. So it was because it was from the issue of many days had passed and things were quiet and he was getting older and he sees the conquest isn't going to happen. Therefore, he takes the initiative to do the following, which we're going to read now in the next psukim. Okay, so we're going to move on to Pasuk Beis. And basically what we're going to see now is a Musar Shmuz coming over here. All right? Pasuk Beis. Vayikra Yeshua lechol Yisrael lezakenav l'roshav l'shavtav l'shoitrav. Yeshua calls the entire Jewish people, which include the elders and the heads and the judges and the officers. Yom Alem, and he says, and he's a kanti bossi by Yamim, I'm getting old. I've come to my days. And Gimel, Vatemra Isam is called Asher Asa Hashem Elokechem L'chol Agoyim Elinit Nechem, and you have seen everything that Hashem has done to all the non-Jews from before you. You see everything he's done for you. And he's starting to, you know, he's reviewing all the good things that Hashem did. Ru'u, and also you should see, Hipalti Lachem, I've allotted for you amongst the lands of the Goyim that remain for you for an inheritance for your tribes. From the Jordan River. And notwithstanding all the non-Jews nations that I destroyed, and there's non-Jews going all the way until the Mediterranean Sea as the sun sets. In other words, he's saying, we've conquered a lot. I've given you out all the land, right? And what should be happening now? Vashem Elokechem hu yedfoim mipnechem. And Hashem, your God, will, if you want, you know, will push them away, will destroy them before you. Varisha sam lifnechem. And has driven them out from before you. He reached them as Arzim Kasher Dibe Hashem Aleichem Lechem, and you inherited the land as Hashem spoke to you. So he's saying, you know, I've given you the land, and you have the ability to drive them out, and Hashem will drive them out, but you've got to go to war to get them out of there. And he's mentioning the concerns that he has, and he's saying, you know, it's not enough to rely, you know, on the way things are going now. Because what do you have to do, Pasuk Vav? Chazakta ma'od. You have to be very strong. You have to strengthen yourself. Lishmar v'lasos is called a kosov v'sever teres Moshe. You have to do everything that's written in Moshe's Torah. To be extremely careful to follow the Torah. Levilti sur mimenu yamin u'smol, not to turn to the right and to the left. Zion levilti bo ba'agoyim ho'elon nisharim ha'elitchem, not to come amongst the non-Jews that remain amongst you. And don't mention the name of their gods, and don't swear in the name of their gods, and don't serve their gods, don't bow down to their gods. But only to Hashem, your God, you should cling to. As you have done until this time. In other words, right up till now, things have been pretty good. But then again, Jews clearly had the upper hand. And the remaining non-Jews weren't going to make any trouble. And so far, you've been okay. It's just cleaving on to Hashem. And you drove out, Hashem drove out from before you many great nations. And nobody stood up to you until this day. You never really had any troubles. Okay, you gotta understand what that means. As already said, that the tribe of Yosef had some difficulties trying to drive out some of those nations. So what does it mean they didn't stand up against you? You got to know exactly what that means. But basically it's been general success in all areas. As we see, Ish Echad Mikem Yirdaf Olef, one of you was able to chase away 1,000. Kashem Elokeichem Anilchem Lechem Kasher Dibur Lechem, because Hashem your God is the one who's fighting for you as he said to you. However, Yud Olef, you have to be very careful for your souls. Lavas Hashem Elokeichem, to love Hashem your God. Kim shov tashuvu, because if you should, God forbid, turn away from Hashem, utvaktem b'yeser agoyim ha'elin nesherim ha'elev itchem, you will cleave to the remnant of the non-Jews who remain amongst you, v'ischanantem b'hem, and you will intermarry with them, uvasa b'hem v'heim b'chem, and you will come to them, and they will come to you, meaning to say, you will marry their daughters, and they will marry our daughters. What's going to happen if all these problems you begin to intermarry and all these problems, Yud Gimel, Yadoa, Teidu, you should surely know. If that's going to happen, Hashem will not continue to drive out these non-Jews from before you. And what will happen? And these non-Jews will be a problem for you. Lepach, there'll be a snare, an obstacle. They'll be like a lash to your sides. And thorns in your eyes. Until you will be lost from this good land which Hashem has given to you. So you got to be very, very careful. And that's what he's worried about. That although maybe leaving the Canaanites here for a while may have been ultimately in the short run for our good. Because Hashem said, you know, lest the wild animals of the fields will overcome you because you don't have enough inhabitants to conquer the land. Right? You know. But it can end up being a very, very terrible thing because then you'll learn from their evil ways. And what he's saying is it's no possibility for in the long run for you to live together with these non-Jews who have autonomy in your land. And, you know, there's got to be some kind of relationship between you and them. Either it's going to be a cold, distant relationship or it's not going to be one. It'll be a close relationship. And there's lots of concerns lest it be a closer relationship. You know, the whole thing I find very odd, you know. Hashem on the one hand says, yeah, you're not going to conquer them right away, you know, lest the animals overtake you, etc., etc. You know, but the whole concern of B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, you know, they all went to the East Bank. You know, you wonder if they would have decided initially to go to the West Bank, if that would have been a problem. There might have been enough Jews to fill it up. Something we could only speculate on. And they would not have had to wait, and they could have conquered everybody right away. So that could have been another issue. Anyway, so he's concerned that don't develop any relationships with them. Yudalit. I'm going to go like the way of the whole world, meaning I'm going to die. V'yidatam, you should know, with all your heart and all your soul, that not one good thing that Hashem said was going to happen fell away that didn't happen. Everything came to you. Not one thing fell. Everything came true. Tesvav. And it was as all these good things came to you, right? Just as they came to you in the past. The exact opposite can happen. Hashem can bring to you all the bad things until he destroys you from this land. From this good land that Hashem gave you. All these terrible things can happen, Tezayin. If you transgress the covenant of Hashem, your God, what he commands you, and you will go and serve foreign gods and bow down to them. Hashem will get angry at you, and you'll be lost from this land so quickly. Echoing a lot of the words of the Kriya Shema. And this is Shmuz number one. Shmuz number one he gave to them. Exactly where, when, it's not clear. It's towards the end of his life, clearly. But exactly where and what, it's not easy to understand. Now, so that's a nice Shmuz. Now, what's going to happen in Perek Chof Dal, and that's what we got to kind of do everything before we can start analyzing anything. Starting Perek Chof Dalet is a second shmuz. Is another shmuz. Vayesof Yeshua es kol shifte Yisrael shchema. But now we have a little bit more detail over here. Now, the first one says he called. Over here it says Vayesof, he gathers. So there's already one difference. And the key thing is we're going to have to learn over the next few days is what's the difference between the two shmuzim and why you need to give two shmuzim. So Yeshua gathers now as kol shivta Yisrael, all the tribes of Jewish people, shchema to shchem. Why shchem? We'll have to talk about that. Now after he gathers them, then vayikra, he calls l'ziknei Yisrael, v'l'roshav, v'l'shoivtav, v'l'shoitrav. He calls the elders and the heads and the judges and the lead and the officers. Vayisyatzvu lifnei Elokim, and he causes them to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they were standing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which obviously means the Aron HaKodesh that he brought from Shiloh to Shechem for what he is going to do with them. Okay. So there's a second convening that happens. Okay. What does he start? So let's begin with the next speech now. Okay. So there's a lot of reading today. We're going to have to cover a lot of ground before we can analyze. Pasuk base. So now he's going to go into about a 13 Pasuk talk. A little bit more even. 15. So through Pasuk Tesvav. He goes through the following shmuz. But it's going to have a different tone. A different tone than the first shmuz. Yomer Yeshua El Kolam. Yeshua said to all the people, Ko Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Like this, Hashem, the God of Israel, has said. Okay, so now the first shmuz, he was speaking in his own name. Now he's speaking on behalf of Hashem. And we'll see this only the second time he ever used such an expression of, so did Hashem say. So this is the following. It's going to sound familiar, I hope. Be'evra hanor yoshva v'sechem e'olam. On the other side of the Euphrates River, on the east side of the Euphrates River, somewhere in Iraq, your fathers always lived. Terach avi Avram v'avi Nachor. Terach, the father of Avram and the father of Nachor. V'yavdu Elohim acherim, and they worshipped foreign idols. Pasuk Gimel. This is what Hashem is saying. And I took, Hashem is saying, I took your father Avram from the other side of the river. And I caused him to go, and I took him through into the entire land of Canaan. And multiplied his children. And I gave him Yitzchak. I gave Yitzchak children, Yaakov and Esav. That ten le'esav is har seir le'reshus also, and I gave to Esav Mount Seir to inherit. The Yaakov of one of Yordam Mitzrayim, and Yaakov and his sons went down to Egypt. What does this sound like? It's Agada. It's from that God. That God takes it from here, right? Hey, so that's good. We're learning this right before Pesach. The Eshlach is Moshe v'es Aaron, and I sent Moshe and Aaron va'ego v'es Mitzrayim, and I smit Egypt kasher asisi v'kirik bo'es as I did in their midst. And then I took you guys out. Right, so he's, in other words, as is well known what I did, and I took you guys out. I took your parents out of Egypt, and they came to the west, to the Sea of Reeds. And the Egyptians ran after them with chariots, and riders and all this stuff to the Yamsuf. Zayin, Vayitzaku el Hashem, and they called out to Hashem, Vayosem ma'afel beinechem bein amitshim, and I put a darkness, like the dark cloud, the protective cloud, between them and the Egyptians, Vayolave asayam, and I brought them into the sea, Vayachasei, and I covered them up. Right, I drowned the Egyptians. Vatireno einechem, and you saw with your eyes, it's a share, see some of what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the desert for 40 years. Finally, and I brought you into the lands of the Amorites, which is on the east bank, and you fought with them. And I put them in your hands, and you inherited their lands, and I destroyed them from before your faces. Pasuk Tes. Vayalkam Balak ben Tzipor, Melech Moav, Elochem Yisrael, and Balak came up, the king of Moab, to fight against the Jews. Vayishlach Vayikur Levilam ben Beor Lekal Eshem, and he called and sent for Bilam to curse you. Pasuk Yud Velo Avisi Lishmol Levilam, and I did not allow myself, to listen to Bilam. And instead, Vayivarech Baruch Eshem Vatzil Eshem Yoro, and I caused him to bless you guys. And I saved you from his hands. Yud Aleph, Atavros Ayarim, you crossed the Jordan River and the miracles that happened there. Vatavol Yericho, and you came to Jericho. Vilachmu b'chem, Bala Yericho, Amori, Apriza, Aknani, Echita, Avkosha, Givchizi, Vayivusi, and you fought with all those seven nations. Vateno Sambiachim, and I put them in your hands. Yud Beis Vashach Lifnechem Esatzir Vatagresh Yisom Yifnechem Shnei Malchei Hamori. And I sent before you those insects, the Tzira, that was able to drive them out, the two Amorite kingdoms. And he's basically going over all the battles, the northern campaign, the southern campaign. But it wasn't your sword and it wasn't your bow, guys. And I gave you a land that you didn't even work for. And cities you didn't build. And you lived in them. And you're eating from the vineyards and the oil and the olive presses. You know, the olives that you didn't even plant, you're eating them. And that is a brief history of the Jewish people. What's the point of telling over this history? We're going to have to explain. You doubt. And that's the Kol Amar Hashem. Okay, so Hashem is giving them a history lesson. Okay, what do we need Hashem to give us this history lesson? Yeshua could have said this on his own. We'll have to see. You don't. Vatoya, now that you've seen, right, you've seen all the good that Hashem has done, right, you've seen amazing things. Yeru es Hashem, you should fear Hashem. Ve'ivdu oso b'tavim emes, you should serve Him with wholesomeness and with truth. Vasiris Elohim asher avdu asavaseichem, and remove the strange gods that your father served, Be'evra Nar of Mitzrayim, Vivdus Hashem, the gods that your patriarch served in Iraq, that your patriarch served in Mitzrayim, as we know the Jews did not get out of the idol worship that was in Mitzrayim. So you've got to remove from your heart these ideas. Any ideas of idolatry, remove this from your heart, totally. And only serve Hashem, Tesvav. And now here comes a real stinger. And if it's bad for you to serve Hashem, if you think it's not a good thing to serve Hashem, then so decide for yourselves today who you do want to serve. Is it going to be those gods that your forefathers served in Iraq years ago? The gods that your great-great-grandfather Terach served? Or is it the gods of the Amorites amongst whom you're living with now? One way or the other. Either you're going to serve Hashem or you're going to serve another god. But there's not going to be this in-between. But for me, v'anochi u'beisi navodes Hashem. But me and my family, I'm serving Hashem. So this is his shmuz. Okay, let's take now a look at the Sefer Parshios, Pesiv HaNevim. Let's skip a page now to Reish Vav. To Reish Vav, the bottom of the page. After the bold words and the bolded print. Right, about 10 lines from the bottom. We'll leave you with questions today. Asiva sa'om l'shchem ma'mida mipanenu kamashelos. Gathering the people now in Shchem brings up many questions. Number one. Ma'adu ha'yatzarach v'shte asivas. Why do we need two gatherings? Right? We had one perich of Gimel, now in perich of Dalet. Hari v'shteim hizir Yeshua mifnei sakonis avras azar. In both of them, Yeshua talks about the same problem of idol worship. What did he add in the second shmuz? They didn't say in the first shmuz. Question number one. Number two. Why is he gathering them to Shechem, of all places? Why does he gather them to Shiloh, which is now the place where Hashem has his divine spirit resting? Gimel. Once Yeshua is calling the entire tribe's Jewish people, what's the unique, special calling to the elders and to the leaders and to the judges and to the officers? It seems that there's he gathers everybody, but he calls the leaders. Dalit, what do the words mean when it says they stood before Hashem? What of God's presence was there in Shechem? And why were they standing there? Let's take a look at the contents of the words of the second gathering, and how they're different from the earlier ones. Rov Dvarov, most of these words, Heim Skira Historius Lotoldos Beis Yisrael, it is a historical overview of the development of the Jewish people. It's a quick history lesson. From the choice of Avram until the old age of Yeshua. And that's how he lists Aleph, Mekom Arishon Shel Avos HaUmah, the original source of the people, their idol worshippers in Iraq. Beis, Bechiras Shel Avram Avinu, Vavdolah Zar Mishar Umos, the choice of Avram and this, to be his man, and the separation of his children from other nations. Gimel, the Golos Mitzrayim, Hamakas Mitzrayim, the whole Exodus story. Dalet, Neis, Kriyas, Yamsuf, Nisa, Midbar, the miracle of the splitting of the sea and the miracles in the desert. Hey, Mechama, Sichon, Va'og, Va'fichas, Klos, Bilam, Ben-Bor, Lebrachas, the wars against Sichon and Og, and overturning the curses of Bilam into Brachas. Vav Nisei, Ma'bros, Yarim, Kisharitz, the miracles of crossing the Jordan and conquering the land. Zion, Yerushalayim, giving over the land. So the obvious question is, Ma Ha'isa, Kavonas, Eshel, Skirazu, what was the intent of giving this overview? Shami Yeshua Balashan, and he says an expression of Kol Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. So did Hashem, the God of Israel, say. Right? Which is only the second time that he used such an expression. Right? Mam Halekchim Ha'ikorim Shoya Al Doro Val Kol Doros Lim Bemeru. What are the messages? What are the main messages that his generation and other generations were meant to receive from here? Okay, good. So we're right at the right spot to continue tomorrow. To get some answers to all these questions. Stay tuned to tomorrow's class and you'll hear what the special message he has to say.